All right, John 14 is the gospel reading. Familiar passage, and perhaps maybe too familiar in some ways in terms of how we use it. The context of John 14, of course, is the upper room discourse, the events on Maundy Thursday, beginning with the washing of the disciples' feet, the prediction of the betrayal. And actually the context at the end of chapter 13 is pretty important for how we approach chapter 14. Jesus says, where is it here, verse 33 of chapter 13, "Where I am going, you are not able to come." This is said to the Jews, and now he says it also to his disciples. And of course, Peter is all, you know, worked up about this. So verse 36, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus sort of qualifies this. "Where I am going, you are now you are able to follow me. You are not now able to follow me, but you will follow later." Okay. And Peter's apparently a little confused because he thinks he's talking about going to the cross, which in some sense Jesus is, of course. But what Jesus is referring to now is what comes after the cross, where he's going to the Father. So Peter says, you know, okay, I'll follow you even to death. And Jesus says, no, you're going to deny me in verse 38. So the imperative in chapter 14, verse 1, then, follows immediately upon this, right? The disciples are going to fall away. Even Peter will deny Jesus when he faces his death. And it's then that Jesus says, 14:1, "Let not your hearts be stirred up." Terasso is the verb there. "Let not your hearts be troubled." Okay. Now, I know we often use this passage at funeral situations or hospitals. I've had parishioners in the hospital ask me to recite this chapter, to read this chapter to them at a bedside. It's a comforting passage. But it's not talking about us not being troubled in the face of death. It's the disciples not being troubled in the face of the separation from Jesus is really the context here. And so his encouragement or his comfort is not, oh, you're not going to die, or don't worry what's going to happen later on. But the path that I will follow, you will follow later on, and you will be with me. Okay. So in a roundabout way, you do end up there in terms of perhaps a funeral preaching. But it's maybe a little sleight of hand the way we often apply this in a funeral setting. Well, be that as it may. 14:1. "Me tarasesto thelon he cardia. Let not your hearts be troubled, pistoita, eis ton theon kai eis eme pistoita." A couple more imperatives. "Believe in God and in me believe." Nice pistoita at the beginning and the end of the sentences there. Obviously the emphasis. And of course throughout John, and in particular this section, the connection is always Jesus and the Father. Jesus and God. What goes for one goes for the other. It's one and the same thing. Okay. So now, and interestingly too, the response to comfort here. Notice when he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." It's not, "Don't let your hearts be troubled because you're going to heaven." It's, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Instead, believe." So trust, have confidence. Okay. That my work will be sufficient for you, that I will accomplish my work. In other words, the hope is not separated from Jesus himself. It's a confidence in him, not in, gee, I'm going to end up in a better place kind of thing. Okay, verse 2. "Ente oikia tu patros mu monai palai eisen." Okay. "In the house of my Father, in my Father's house, in my Father's house, are many monai." And this word has caused more controversy than probably anything else. Monai, you see it's related to the verb meno, which comes up often in John, to dwell with, abide with, remain with. It's simply a dwelling place, a place where you sit and rest for a while. It could be an encampment, it could be a house, it could be any place you dwell. Okay. So in my Father's house are many places to have a seat, you might say. A lot of translations, we use rooms here, so everybody has their own little condo or something, I suppose, is the image that they're picking up on here. The point is, everybody is gathered into one place, and everybody has a room, all right? Now, the King James, as they often did, when they translated this passage, simply transliterated the Latin, Vulgate. The Vulgate rendered Moni with mansiones, which means a temporary dwelling place. And so the King James translated it mansions, which subsequently in English came to mean big fancy houses. So when you read in your King James, you know, in my father's house are many mansions, and we're all waiting for a mansion in the sky, it means the complete opposite, as if we each have our own little McMansions with our yards and everything. I mean, it's completely foreign to, well, the way we think about heaven is completely foreign to the New Testament too, but that's another topic. Anyway, the point here is there's one place to go, and there's a place for everybody who Jesus calls to be there in the end. Okay. So the follow-up, Edame, Ipon, Amin, Hata, Foruomai, Etoimasai, Tapon, Amin. If it were not so, a nice contrary to fact condition here, I would have said to you that I am going to prepare a place for you, or would I have said to you, sorry, that I am going to prepare a place for you. Etoimasai is the aorist infinitive, indicating purpose. And here, tapon, you see, now is parallel to monai, place, location. You know, that's the point. There's room for you there. Now, this poruomai is pretty important, this journey, this going. See, where is he going now? He's not just kind of going up to heaven. He's going to the Father. Okay, that's where the journey, of course, it goes through the cross, but he's going to the Father. Okay. Verse 3, kai an poruosto, kai etoimaso tapangamin, palin erkomai, kai paro. Paralipsomai themas prosimalaton. Okay. And if I journey and prepare for you, nice dative of advantage, a place, a tapon, again, and this is a present tense here, I am coming, right, and I will take you to myself. So I am coming, that's kind of emphatic there. I will take you to myself, parlambano, present tense, our future tense. Hina hapu aime ego kai humais aita. In order that where I am, you also may be. Okay, subjunctive of a me there, second person. So again, the key is not, you know, I want to go somewhere and have a nice happy existence and live happily ever after kind of thing, but to be with Jesus. Okay? So that the relationship that begins on earth in the narrative of the Gospels with Jesus and his disciples continues forever. The point is not to be somewhere nice, but to be with Jesus, wherever that may be. Including, unfortunately for the disciples, even to the garden, even to the cross. Right. So verse 4. Kai hapu ego hupago oideta tein hadon. And where I am going, present tense, you know oida the road, the way, the path. Okay. So hopefully, I guess after 13 chapters, they should know the way. Okay, you would expect. Now, what's interesting is this unit here is sort of, verses 1 to 4 is sort of distinct in some ways from the rest of the chapter, but not so much so. I mean, we often use it that way, that the first four verses are talking about sort of heaven, and then Jesus gets into this, you know, I'm the only one sort of thing. But really, they're connected because the point is Jesus is going to the Father, and that's where the disciple needs to be as well. So Thomas coming in is actually a red herring in a sense. He kind of doesn't get what's going on. Verse 5, Lege auto Thomas. Thomas says to him, Kuria ukoidemen pu hupages, or hupages. Lord, we do not know where you are going. Present tense of hupago there. We do not know where you are going. So, you know, Jesus says, you know, and they don't know. Okay. So, post dunamatha tain hadan 8 and 9. How are we able to know the way? 8 and 9, the infinitive there. To know the way. Lego to ho Jesus, Jesus says to him, ego, aime he hadas, kai he alephea, kai hey, Zoe. Right. Everybody has this memorized somewhere in confirmation class. I am the way, and the truth and the life. By the way, just to point out, you know, Tim was messing with those Hebrew words over there. Notice how smooth Greek is when you just say it. You know, hadas, aletheia, zoe. You know, Hebrew, you're always kind of hacking around. Anyway, kind of like German. All right. So I am the way, one of these famous I am statements, the way, the truth, and the life. Ude serkatai prostem patera eme de emu. No one, and notice the emphatic front position there, no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, see, here's the connection again. Where are you going? The going is not to a location. The going is to the Father. So how do you go to the place where I'm going is how do you go to the place where the Father is? Okay. This is the key. So again, he's not just talking about everlasting life. He's talking about the life of the disciple today and forever. All right. Verse 7. If you knew me, heirs there, also my Father you will know. If you knew me, also my Father you will know. I'm going to move my page here. There we go. And from now on, kai aparte, genoskete auton, kai orakete auton. And from now on, you will know him and have seen him. Okay, I got to put something to hold my page, apparently. There we go. Okay. Now, a couple of interesting notes here. You see some pretty big textual variants in this passage. Let's talk about the ones in verse 7, where the egnokate is changed into an egnoketa, different tense. And then instead of gnosiste, at the end of the verse, if you look down in your apparatus, you'll see two options. Instead of gnosiste, you'll have an ereta or egnoketa an, both of which add the on, obviously, change the tense and turn this into a contrary to fact condition. So rather than, if you knew me, you will also know the Father. Or you might even render that, when you know me, you also know the Father. What the contrary to fact condition does is it changes to, if you knew me, then you would know the Father. Right? And actually, that's the translation of the NIV. I typed it out just so I had it right. The NIV says, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. Which implies that the disciples don't. Okay. Unfortunately, it's not the reading of the Nestle text. It's probably not the right reading. What's emphasized here is knowing Jesus equals knowing the Father, not the unknowingness of the disciples at this point. So it's a positive statement, which is explained further in verses 8 to 14, not a kind of a preliminary slam on the disciples. Okay. It actually follows, I think, from now on, you will know him and have seen him, knowing and seeing again. Not that major a difference, but probably the alteration was made to match verse 7 with what follows, where they don't know, sort of a thing. All right, so then Philip jumps in. Thomas gets his door slammed. Now Philip tries. Lege auto philippos, kyria deixon hemin ton patera, kai arkai hemin. Lord, show to us, that's an imperative from deiknemi, show to us the Father, and arkai is an impersonal verb, it will be sufficient, it will be enough for us. Takes the dative case. So show us the Father, and it will be enough for us. Right? Wrong thing to say to Jesus. Lege auto ho Jesus. Jesus says to him, Tasa to chrono, methimon, ami, kai uk, ignokasme, Philippe. Right? How long, dative of time, have with you am I? How long, I mean, with the present tense, you could almost say, how long do I have to be with you? How long am I with you? And you do not know me, Egnokas, Philip. Right? And see, of course, if you don't know Jesus, you don't know the Father. If you knew Jesus, you know the Father. You wouldn't make a statement like that. Okay? And then he clarifies. Ha he'arakasame he'araken ton patera. The one who, and these are nice perfect tenses, the ones who have seen me have seen the Father. So if you are in a state of seeing me, then you are in a state of seeing the Father. Of course, seeing is knowing and having a relationship with in the Gospel of John. So, postu leges deixon emen, or sorry, deixon hemen ton patera. How can you say, or how do you say, show to us the Father? Right? It's obvious, or it should be obvious. Right? Verse 10. U pistoyes hata ego en ta patri kai ha patera en amoi esten. Okay. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Right, so this co-relationship going on. Ta hremeta ha ego lego humin apemautu u lalo. Okay. So the rhemata, the utterances which I speak, ha, the relative pronoun, the utterances which I speak to you, I do not speak, or I am not speaking from myself. Okay. I'm not making it up. I'm not the one who originates these things. Hode pater enamoi menon poie ta erga autu. But the Father, in me remaining... And I'm sure the textual variant inserts a pronoun of some sort. Or is it verse 10? Father to me. All right. Well, the Father remaining in me does his work. Now, see, there's that verb meno again. It's just all over the place in the Gospel of John, this relationship word. The dwelling place, the abiding place, the one who remains, the one who knows, the one who sees. So the Father does his work through Jesus. In Jesus. So 11, pistoiete moi, hata ego en to patric, kai ho pater en moi. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Aidame, dia ta erga auta pistoiete. If not, in other words, if you don't believe that, believe through the works auta themselves. So if you don't believe it just because I say it, then look at what I've done. No one can do this except God. Okay. So obviously I'm in a relationship with the Father. Now it shifts, and here's where the 14:1-4 sort of comes back and ties in a little bit, that if you're in a relationship with Jesus, you're with him now and forever, and that relationship means you're also with the Father. So the connection goes through, and now the work that Jesus does is also the work by those who are in relationship with Jesus, because they're also in a relationship with the Father. So it kind of sticks out a little bit, but it makes sense if you track what Jesus is arguing here. So, amen, amen, lego, amen, truly, truly, I say to you, ha pistoion, eis ame, ta erga, ha ego, poio, kakenos. Well, let me stop there. The one believing in me, the works which I do, or which I am doing, okay, kakenos, poiesai kai maizono. Also that one, now kakenos is a contraction, it's kai, kainos, and they don't like having three vowels in a row, so you drop it off and just make it kakenos there. So, also that one will do also greater things, poiesai, the future tense, greater things than these, maizona tuton, poiesai. Let me do this right. The one who believes in me, the works which I do, this one will do also greater things. Will he do? Okay. Now the tuton there is a genitive of comparison. I suppose you say greater than these. Mezon, the comparative form from the gas, greater than these he will do. Okay. Hate ego pros tom patera poromai. And this is the key. Because I am going to the Father. See, and this is really the point. If Jesus doesn't go through the cross and go back to the Father and sit at the right hand of God and take his seat at the throne of creation, nothing happens. Nothing can happen. But once he is exercising authority over all creation, he can do his work now through his followers. Right? So it's necessary that he goes to the Father so that the work can continue through his followers. If he doesn't go to the Father, the disciples can't do anything. And this gets clarified later on in the upper room here. If I don't go, you can't receive the Spirit, for example. Okay? But the key is, again, it's not that Jesus is just going away somewhere. It's going to the place where he will reign. Now, John doesn't have an ascension, but that's what he's talking about, to sit at the right hand of the Father. Right? So he's going to the Father, where he will exercise all rule and authority, to use a Pauline word. Okay, so verse 13. Kai hatian I tesita enta anamatimu tuto poieso, hina doxaste ha pater enta huio. Right? Hatian, what thing ever, so whatever, you ask, subjunctive of vitao there, whatever you ask in my name, this thing, right, I will do, future tense, in order that my Father, or that the Father is glorified in the Son. Okay? And then we'll finish this off and talk about that. 14, down to I tesita me enta onamatu mu ego poieso. If anything you ask me in my name, I myself, emphatic, will do. Right? Now again, it might be tempting to chop off verses 12 to 14 and say, well, this is our kind of license to prayer and, you know, kind of ask for whatever you want and then give it to you kind of thing. As long as you use the magic formula in the name of Jesus, then everything is done. But again, connected with what went on before, it's the relationship with Jesus that brings the power to do his work. So what are you going to ask for? You're going to ask to do his work, right? Because the works that he did, you're going to do too. So it's not just a, you know, snippet out of context, ask whatever you wish, but if you are in a relationship with Jesus, you're going to do his work because, well, that's how it works. He did the work of his Father. He couldn't do anything of his own. He only did what the Father sent him to do. And the same thing for us. We can't do work on our own. We don't ask for something for ourselves on our own. We only do what he's given us to do. So the same relationship, Father, Son, and then Son, us, works. And it's not just kind of a blanket ask for anything, but it's connected to his mission itself. And if you track that through in the Gospel of John, of course, you know, is this mission for himself or for others? You know, so what are we asking for? Right? It's to do the work of the kingdom. But so it actually does fit together. It's not just a little, you know, oh, here's the heaven section in verses 1 to 4. And here's the Jesus is the on the way section in 8 to 11. And here's the pray for whatever you want section in 12 to 14. It all fits together in relationship to Jesus that when he accomplishes his work as the Son, he is able to work now through us. Okay. And the going is not just going to heaven someday, but the going is, you know, all the way through this life, on into eternity, that relation happens and continues. So, you know, a couple things you could do with this. It is worth pointing out, of course, it's not sort of the main point, but it is clearly here about no one comes to the Father except through me. Obviously, sort of a sedes doctrinae for the uniqueness of Christianity. And in our day and age, that might be something that's worth picking up. Even if it's not sort of the main emphasis, it's sort of a side note that Jesus makes about his uniqueness in terms of other religions anyway. I mean, certainly his uniqueness with his relationship to the Father is all throughout John. But again, in our society, you know, this is not an accepted way of looking at religion about God. I mean, every day it seems like you see another bumper sticker. I was at Ted Drew's Sunday, and there's a bumper sticker that said, I've never seen one of these before. It had a list, you know, Adam, Moses, I don't know who else, Jesus, Muhammad, prophets of Allah. You know. So I didn't know we had that many Muslims in St. Louis, but apparently there are. But see, there again, you know, is there anything unique about Jesus according to Islam? Right? They see him as a prophet, okay, but not as the one who has a unique relationship with the Father. There's a different thing going on there, even though they acknowledge him as some sort of a figure that has a relationship of some kind with what they call a deity, right? Or you see the bumper sticker, right, coexist, where you have a little religious symbol for every, you know, Buddhist or, you know, whatever, communist, I don't know what all is up there. And of course the cross is at the end, you know. So again, that's just the way most people look at things, and that's not to argue that, you know, Christianity has to go to war against all the religions, certainly. But there is something unique about Jesus. And what is unique about Jesus is that he is, in fact, the one who is, well, A, gives access to the Father, and B, reigns over creation. Right? And if he reigns over creation, that means he has control over this world and the world to come, and has a place for us both now and into eternity. So the uniqueness, I think, is certainly something that needs to be brought out here. But in context of what is the point of that uniqueness? It's to make the Father known. Okay. That's probably about it. All right. Thanks. I don't know if I met you. Oh, yeah, you're... help me out.
Dave Harold?
Dave Harold?
Yep.
Are you... I haven't had you in class, have I?
No.
You look familiar, though. First year student?
Second year.
Look familiar.
No, it's not
right. Sorry.